Hello, everyone. This is Luke Jean-Louis, the host of the Deep Voice Man show. Thanks for joining us today. We have a treat in store for us. Our guest today is Garrett Halsell. He is an incredible person who is on a mission to help businesses flourish and thrive through better marketing that works. As he tells it, he helps businesses put more butts in more seats and drive revenue. I know him as a superhero for small businesses, and I know Garrett as one of the best salesmen and communicators that I ever met, and I know him as well as an excellent networker, but most importantly as a good friend. And I first met Garrett at a networking event, and we spoke on the phone that very night for close to an hour. Like we were friends who knew each other for years. And so his energy and his vibe left an indelible impression on me. And, you know, we are very fortunate to have Garrett, you know, with us today. He is a very busy individual. And so, you know, we're very lucky that he was able to carve out some time in his packed schedule to sit down and have a chat with us. So we are all incredibly blessed. And you know, Garrett, can you tell us, you know, first, you know, about yourself and what attracted you? How did you, you know, what journey did you take to end up where you are now, where you're helping businesses?
Sure. Well, first of all, thank you so much for that introduction. It was wonderful. I think you may have embellished a little bit. I don't know if I'm a superhero or not, but I appreciate it nonetheless. Yeah, no, it's been one heck of a ride. I've cherished this relationship that we've had for the past year and a half-ish.
Wonderful.
I don't know the exact date, but yeah, to tell you a little bit about myself, I moved to New York in August of 2019 in order to kind of get away from some of the environments that I was in back home in Texas, which is where I'm from, but I still love Texas. I still go back quite often. But, you know, at a certain point, I just had to say, you know, I need a change of environment. I need to turn my life around. And so I moved to New York City to live with my little brother who goes to college here. And, you know, once I got here, the very first thing that I did was start building my network, because I'd been a part of this company called Vox Rept, and I was one of the 12 founding members of that company. And even to this day, I still love it, and I still work alongside them a lot, and even primarily. But, you know, I understood I was coming here with nothing, with no network. And so I had to go to networking events, and I networked like a madman. Sometimes I went to multiple networking events in a day. But, you know, through business development for Vox Rect, I really was opened up to the world of entrepreneurship, and that really resonated with me as a person and just the values that I hold. I wouldn't call myself altruistic. I would call myself selfishly selfless. I derive pleasure from helping people, and that's what makes me happy, is helping people. And so that's really what fueled my desire to do things for other people. And I think because of my upbringing and education, I was gifted with a different understanding and a different worldview than a lot of people have. And I've, even though I'm fairly young, I've lived a lot of life. I've made a lot of mistakes, and I've learned a lot. And so because of that, I look at the world a little bit differently than a lot of people, and that drives me in a different way. And so I feel like sometimes I'm on fire in a world of ice, but that may just be the ADHD talking, you know? So what exactly attracted me to helping businesses was, really, it didn't start out that way. It kind of formed into what I believe and what I want to do, is helping business, as a byproduct of realizing and understanding just how much potential there is in the world, right? And so just where I started off, because I changed from chemical engineering in the aerospace world to marketing and business development and sales for a text message marketing company, right? And so it really started when I began to understand just how much SMS marketing can be used in any industry and how little it actually is used, and just the power that it holds. And I think COVID has highlighted that
Right.
Not only because I've done a lot more business since COVID, but also because COVID really highlighted a lot of problems that we didn't acknowledge or see beforehand. Now we do, and I'm perfectly positioned to solve a lot of those problems. So
that's kind of what
attracted me to helping businesses, and then I gave you a little bit more about like why I keep doing it. You know.
That's wonderful. That's great. You sort of answered a little bit of my next question, which is more than okay. I just wanted to know if you could just talk to us about the current state of, you know, the small business world and what challenges has the pandemic posed to that world.
Yeah. So, you know, I work in most industries, so I have a little bit of insight everywhere, but I think more broadly speaking, obviously COVID has kind of flipped a lot of businesses on their heads. But I think one thing that it highlights is one of the most important things it shows is the necessity for people being flexible, right? And understanding that in reality, it's a privilege that we get to be in fellowship with one another and close community with each other. But in terms of small businesses, nobody was prepared for this. And so as a result, it's become even more important to be able to communicate with people, whether that's a business or an individual. And that becomes super important when we're now separated. But something that I've seen with a lot of small businesses that kind of illustrate this fact is that the more methods and modes of communication that a business has, the more they're flourishing. So a lot of people that began COVID by holding their breath, hoping that it would end quickly, have now found themselves drowning because they only have one means to communicate or reach out to their customers. And the businesses that are using more modes and more methods of communication, like starting a social media page, getting on Facebook, going on to do advertisements, even SMS marketing, email marketing, just being able to be reached or reach other people in different modes and mediums is super important. And so the more of those that a business has, the better they're going to do, right? And so there's a couple of challenges in my industry that the pandemic has positioned. First of all, people need to have a way to work remotely, and I facilitate that for a lot of my clients. A lot of them need to be able to advertise or promote to people who are at home. So their signs aren't working. The billboards aren't working. They need to use social media, TikTok, Pinterest, YouTube, Google, Facebook, whatever it is, LinkedIn, right? So they need to be able to reach people where they're not. But then also the workforces have been fragmented. And I think that's both a good and a bad thing, but I think one benefit we've seen as a result of the fragmenting of workforces is that virtual work is not bad. People can be just as productive from home as they are at the office and sometimes even more productive, right?
Wow.
So I think that there's a lot of benefits that COVID has presented that we didn't see initially and that will shift us in a way that we're better prepared for the next thing, whatever that thing may be. You know what I mean?
Right. Definitely. I like what you said about there's benefit because you know when there's crisis they say there's opportunity.
Yeah.
You know? It sounds cliche, but it's so true. And
it is.
You talked about businesses having several different modes. It's sort of like an octopus with a lot of different arms. I think they call them tentacles. You know.
Yeah.
If you cut off one, they still have plenty more. But if you're an octopus that only has one or two tentacles, well, you're out of luck, so to speak. And you know, I liked what you said about being selfishly selfless. I think that's incredible. And there's a lot of truth in that. I think to a certain extent, I think all people may be kind of selfishly selfless, you know?
Yeah.
But you framed it so well when you say selfishly selfless. And I'm going to start saying that now a lot. I like that. You need to print out shirts. You need shirts, man. So it's incredible how businesses have to be flexible. And your story is very inspiring. You went from chemical engineering to doing, what you love. And
I still love both.
Oh, you still love it? Oh, okay, great.
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, that's great. So, obviously you still have that if you want to still do that here and there.
Maybe one day.
You're focused on helping small businesses thrive. So that's your current mission. I see what you mean. So that's great. I mean, now obviously there's going to be a world post COVID that will come sooner, I hope, rather than later. And where the disease may not fully go away, but it'll, sort of tamp down somewhat or a lot, particularly maybe with the spread of the vaccine, we hope. I mean, where do you see the small business world going in the future? And where do you see yourself in that future?
Yeah. So in terms of where small businesses are going, I think that there is going to be an increased emphasis on providing an experience instead of just a transaction. Mm-hmm. This isn't the only thing that's happened with COVID where work is fragmented and work is going virtual. There still is a lot of like business, retail is going virtual. Shopping is going virtual, right? So a lot of the window shopping stores are going to hurt. They're going to suffer a lot, right? So if you want people to be coming into your retail store, you're going to have to give them a reason more than just come try it on or come look at it, because online is providing that, if not more, already. So you're going to have to provide an experience, a reason for people to come. Right now, restaurants, in that sense, not so much. There's always going to be a room for sit-down dining. But at the same time, you're still going to need a way to communicate with people and let them know about what's going on because people are shifting to digital so much, right?
Right.
I think additionally, small businesses are going to find that relationships are going to matter far more than transactions.
Right.
And I think that that's a trend that we were already seeing before COVID, that COVID actually just accelerated. But the reason I say that is because I think that we are going to see more ecosystems of businesses instead of what I would call like linear businesses, right? So I think we're going to see like quote-unquote pods of businesses that work together as groups and provide services and then like refer each other within that group. Whereas even though that's still here now, I think that there's also a level of linear correlation where I pass you on to one person, they pass you on to another person, they pass you on to another person. I don't know half of those people, even though I've got friends in my network that can do the same services. Now it's going to be more like a circle than a straight line.
Okay.
Now, within that future, I see myself in a lot of places in a lot of different ways because I'm running multiple businesses. I'm going to have different groups for different things. Additionally, I think I'm also going to be facilitating some of those groups. But more importantly, I want to lead by example in showing people how good business is done in a way that isn't common nowadays. Because I'm more concerned about running a business with integrity. And I think that's also going to pay dividends over time in the long run. You know what I mean? In terms of like my business in the future, just specifically with SMS marketing, I don't think that's going away. 2020, 2021 are the year of the text message. There's been such an explosion in the industry. It's awesome. And I don't think that that's going to go away once COVID kind of dials down. You know, I think that that's something that's here to stay, partially as a byproduct of technology advancing. I think that there's going to come a day where, like, all the information we get is through our phones because, generally speaking, that's how it is almost right now, you know?
Right.
But I think it's going to be more direct in the future, and that's something I facilitate very easily.
Wow. You know, it's interesting. You're like a teacher to me, and I'm like a student, and it's almost I've learned more about business, how businesses are supposed to be run and what they should be doing than I've learned from professors in business school, believe it or not. You are one knowledgeable person. And, you know a lot about small businesses and you know what it takes to succeed. And you know, so many people have a dream to start a small business, and you know, they want to work for themselves and be their own boss, and perhaps have the business, you know, make money for them while they, you know, take after their family perhaps, and give them time freedom. But there's a high failure rate with small businesses. You know, I heard that around 80 to 90% of businesses fail within the first couple of years.
Yep, within the first 5 years.
Wow. And I'm just thinking to myself, and you know, they say most businesses, even the ones that do make it, lose money in the beginning.
Yeah, a lot of times, it's true.
And I'm just thinking to myself, it's a tough, hard road. And, you know, a lot of people, they may quit if their business might make it. And you know, during that process where they're losing money, how can they sustain themselves? And I'm just curious, like, what advice would you give to someone who wants to start their own business and be successful and make it and be one of the few that survive?
Yeah, so I want to preface that answer just by saying, like, I appreciate your praise. I appreciate the compliment. And I think that's not just me, right? I'm not the best businessman in the world. I'm not Elon Musk, right? Although maybe one day I will be. Who knows?
Yeah.
The difference between me and a business professor is that I've been doing it. I've been in the trenches. Mm. A business professor may have done it 20, 30 years ago, but they've been in the education system for so long, right?
Right.
Theory has immense utility, but it only extends so far. At a certain level, your theory needs to become action, right?
Right.
And that's what causes a business to succeed or fail, is action. Your business is not going to benefit if you don't start it. It's not going to grow if you don't work on it, right? So to an extent, you get out of it what you put into it. But at the same time, that also has to be balanced by the fact that, first of all, not everyone's a business owner. I'm tired of people saying that anyone can be a business owner, because that's not true. Not everyone is skilled at that. Not everyone is called to that, and that's okay. Just because you're not a business owner doesn't make you a failure. You can succeed in other areas. But if you want to start a business, my greatest advice would be to start your business in a way that doesn't cost you money but makes you money, right? So when I started my event organizing business, the first thing that I did in order to start revenue coming in was I went to networking events and I told people, hey, you're a great connection. Would you be open to me sending you invites to great events that I have already kind of cleared? And so then I have this curated list of events that I promote. And so eventually I got to a point where I was telling people, hey, for $10 a month, I'll send you 12 event invites to solid events. That's three per week. And that's less than a dollar an event. Most of them are free. And they were all quality events with quality people. So I got about 100 people on that list. And I was making around a grand a month for 20 minutes of work. Then what I would do is I would go to the event organizer. And I would say, hey, look, I brought 100 people and I can prove it. Awesome.
Right.
I would love to continue promoting your event if you'd be willing to pay me. Absolutely. Right. You brought 100 people. Okay, cool. So now, with a system that I was able to get for free, I was able to begin making $1,500 a month just like going through public domain, finding events and sending it out to people via text, right?
Wow.
And then I used the system that I currently sell to automate it so that I didn't have to do hardly any work. It took me maybe 20 minutes on the first day of every month to make $1,500. Right? So then what I was able to do was leverage that money in order to make events. And COVID knock came in before I was able to host many events, but I hosted a few. And because I had become so acquainted with events, what made them good, what made them bad, what kind of people, how to attract good ones, detract bad ones, I was able to host solid events and charge for them. And I hosted private events that were expensive. And so I started an entire business for free. So not everyone can do that, and not every industry is capable of that, right? But if you can find a way that is going to get money in the bag, you can then use that money as a stepping stone towards your ultimate goal, right? Eventually, that event company is going to morph into something where I'm no longer sending those texts. Does that mean it's a different company? No, it just means that my service has changed. So just because you want to be in one place doesn't mean that that's where you start. Find your starting point, put action into it, and dedicate yourself to that, and then the things will follow. Don't say I'm going to be this person without first taking the action. You can't be a millionaire unless you're doing things that millionaires do, right? Because if you wait until you're a millionaire to start acting like a millionaire, you're not going to be one for very long, right? Same thing with a business owner. If you're not going to act like a business owner until you actually own your business, you need to consider if that's something you really want to pursue or if it's there's a better option for you.
Right.
And so that's one thing that I think is huge. But then another completely separate thing that I'm coming up with off the top of my head is I see a lot of independent businesses, and I love independent businesses, right? So one-person marketing firms or one-person branding consultants, that's good for people, right? But to a certain level, why can't you build relationships with a few people, come together as one entity, offer greater services at a greater price, and everyone benefits all the more, right?
Right.
That's basically like, here's an idea. Go to a freelancing website, contract a whole bunch of freelancers, and then start soliciting the services the freelancers provide, and then you're just a middleman, but you run the company. That's one thing that I wish I saw more of was independent businesses merging together because everyone wants to be their own boss. That's great.
Right.
But in the sustainability factor, you're not going to get anywhere on your own. You have to have a team. You have to have a group, a network.
Right.
And what better way to do that than with other people, right? So that's some advice.
Well, that's great. You know, it's funny how a lot of people say they want to be their own boss and they leave their job. But they just go ahead and just buy themselves another job, you know?
Yeah, they become a slave to their business.
Right. And that's not really, I think, what a lot of them had in mind when they said they wanted to be their own boss.
Yeah, they wanted to be a business owner, not owned by a business.
Right. And I think that's the mistake a lot of people make, a lot of entrepreneurs make. And, you know, you mentioned how you need to have a team, and you know it's cliche, but they say the teamwork makes the dream work, so to speak, which I'm sure you've heard before a thousand times. And it's interesting how, you know, doing it all on your own is exhausting. You end up working more hours than you would as an employee. It's incredible.
I can attest to that. Yeah. and some people are cut out for that. And I'm not saying don't start a business if you're going to start it on your own. That's how I did it.
Right.
And that's how I do a lot of things.
Yeah,
and I'm not special or whatever, but not everyone can do that, you know. Some people need to start with a team, but at the same time, I'm not saying don't start something if you're by yourself. Sometimes visionaries are alone, and they have to do something on their own until other people see their vision and come in with them.
Right. You know, you also mentioned ecosystems and pods, and I think that, you know, with a businesses working with other businesses to refer people. And I think that ties to the whole notion of, you know, teamwork, people working together. I think it was Carnegie who said, you know, and Carnegie said that if he had 1% of 100 people's efforts, that'd be better than 100% of his own.
That was actually Jake Getty Paul.
Okay.
Jay Paul Getty, my bad.
Oh, Getty was the one who said that. And that's perfectly true. And, you know, so many small business owners, they could be a stubborn bunch. You know, it's hard for them to delegate.
Yeah.
You know. You know, a lot of them live by the motto that if you want something done right, you got to do it yourself. And it's hard for them to trust others because obviously no one cares about your business as much as, you know, you care about your own business, but, you know, to let go and to let someone, you know, handle things that are important is critical if you want to grow your business, you know, and not be a slave to it.
Right.
And so, you know, can you – now you've worked with a lot of businesses and assisted a lot of, you know, businesses. And can you tell us, you know, the most interesting or entertaining or moving stories, you know, from your journey?
Sure. So, let's see. There's one guy who he started his business on cruise ships, right? So this was before COVID. And wow. What he did is he had 7 or 8 phones, and he was using our phone system, and he didn't really use the SMS marketing, but he used our phone system because we've got really good compression rate. He would go out on the cruises where there's no reception. This was like Wi-Fi calling wasn't super common at the very beginning of it, but he would he would just go there and he would say, hey, $10 for a phone call for like an hour or 30 minutes or whatever. And so he would give this to people. And he, like, he'd dole out 7 or 8 phones, and then he'd keep his own personal one, obviously. But then, like, before the end of the first day of a 5-day cruise, he could already pay for the next cruise. It was crazy. Wow. It was phenomenal, right? So this dude was a party animal. He loved the cruises. And so he'd hustle the first day and then chill out for the other 4, still make money on the other 4. But, like, as long as he made enough for the next cruise, he was good. And he was golden. And so that's what he did for months. And then he, I don't remember what happened to him. I think he got transferred to, to another, client broker. And so his account got transferred away from me, but I still wonder what he's doing from time to time. I mean, obviously he's not on cruises anymore, but you know.
Now I can imagine, but someone as creative and innovative as he, he's probably, you know, onto something even more.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Another one. This isn't a client story, but it's something that I did that I think is pretty funny, or entertaining at least. A little explanation of the way our phone system works. You create little branches, so I can forward to different calls, to different phone numbers, or to different virtual receptionists. And so what I did is created a little choose your own adventure game, kind of like D&D. Where I want to get voice actors, because it's just a fun project. Like, I want to get voice actors so that I can get, like, a narrator that says, Dwarin, the dwarf of whatever town, on an adventure, yada, yada, yada. Press 1 to go west, press 2 to go east. And then you just play out through this whole game, and then your result is dictated by the actions that you take through the previous things. I think that's kind of entertaining. It would cater really well to the D&D community, which I think would be fun, kind of like a Wendy's marketing gimmick. But I think that's super entertaining for sure.
No, it sounds amazing. You know, so thank you for those stories. And I'm curious now, you know, we spoke a lot about, you know, networking, right?
Yeah.
And you know, it's important for businesses to get referrals, and they can get referrals through networking and also providing good service. You know, there are some businesses where they rely solely on referrals.
Yeah.
And that's, they no longer have to chase clients. And I think that's heaven if you're a business owner, right?
Yeah.
They come to you. And I think, you know, that's a key aspect of having a business be sustainable, you know. And so I'm curious, how does one go about networking the proper way, so they can get referrals and rely mostly on referrals down the line?
I will tell you, there's more than one perspective on this. There's more than one avenue. I'm going to tell you mine, my perspective, and what I do.
Right.
Before I even approach networking, this is all predicated on building a relationship, partially because of that being who I am. And at the same time, knowing that I can't be everyone's friend. Unfortunately, I don't have enough time in the world to be everyone's friend. So I need to be purposeful, but I also need to be genuine and authentic with a goal of building a relationship, right? Because a business that runs through referrals is running through relationships. Because whether we like it or not, a referral is only given to someone that we know, like, and trust. Right. That's why people buy. That's why people refer as well. It's because they know, like, and trust you. You know they're going to take care of your clients because they want to take care of their clients. So you need to build relationships with people. You can't expect referrals just on a whim. Like, you're not just going to get them every day. So when it comes to how do I network and get more referrals, first off, build relationships. Second of all, ask for it. A lot of people don't ask for referrals, right? First of all, the fortune is in the follow-up. So if you're at a networking event like Luke and I met at, then you need to follow up, because otherwise you're just going to become a business card in somebody's coffee table, right? So you have to follow up. I know it's cliche, but the fortune is in the follow-up. You're not going to have a second conversation if you don't reach out. Always be the one who reaches out, right? Not because you're needy, but because you're consistent with other people.
Right.
People see that. People see consistency. And so if you come at this from a stance of, I want to build a relationship with someone, they trust me, they know I provide good service, I'm going to say, hey, I know that I've helped you, or I've helped a lot of your clients with XYZ issue. Do you know anyone else who struggles with that? I would love to help them as well. Right?
Right.
And so at the same time, this isn't a given. This is a give and take relationship. It's a two-way street. You can't just be a giver. You can't just be a taker. That's not how relationships work. So if you're giving me suitcases full of cash in the form of referrals, there should be something that I'm doing for you. And that's a really great way to get more referrals, is to say, hey, I know that we can't do one-to-one referrals just because our industries don't line up that way, but is there something that I can do for you that would motivate you to give me more referrals, or to prioritize me when you do give referrals, whether that's a referral fee or solving one of their pain points, giving them free service. Maybe it is one-to-one referrals, but that's extremely rare, right?
Right.
For some people, it's like, hey, I'll give you a free promotion, a free shout-out for every referral that you give me. For some people, it's like, hey, I've got this referral program where you send me a client, I'll send you money. For some people, it's, hey, you're not super tech savvy? Well, look, I know that I am. You've seen that I am. I'll teach you how to run a great Zoom meeting, or I'll teach you how to do this, that, the other. I'll look over your website. I'll give you advice. I'll give you recommendations, right? It's being a friend, right? Because here's the thing. This is something that pisses me off. When a friend asks for free service, right? It doesn't piss me off. I'm happy to help. I love blessing my friends. However, if I really want to support my friends, like if I go to my buddy's restaurant, I'm not going to say, hey, can I get 20% off because I'm your buddy? I'm going to pay full price, sometimes more, right? And, you know, I've got a friend who's the manager of a place called Nacho Macho Taco. It's wonderful. But he gives us discounts all the time. And I don't – I appreciate that. And so what I do is I take all the all of that discount and I give it to the server. Because now I'm blessing the server, but also, like, acknowledging and appreciating my buddy, right? Because if he hadn't given me the discount, I still would tip, obviously. But now I'm able to give more to his people, right? And that just makes life better for everyone, you know?
You're paying it forward.
Yeah, paying it forward. And, like, I feel like good friends want to support you and see your success, so they'll support you in by paying full price. That doesn't mean favors don't exist, but I'm not going to consistently give you 20% off your pizza.
Obviously. Well, you know, you mentioned fortune in the follow-up, and we've all heard that, but I think a lot of people just don't know how to follow up. I've been to networking events where I get a lot of business cards, and no one follows up with me. I don't get an email from anyone, and I don't think people are networking to their fullest potential.
No,
and so how
not.
Do people – So, I mean, it's like, what's going on? You know, you have these networking events. Hardly anyone does any follow-up. Why are they there? I mean, are they wasting their time? I don't know. How does someone properly follow up? I mean, I think people just really need to learn how to do that.
How do people follow up? Great question. So here's one way that I'll put it. Systems create success. Make a system around following up. Make it a part of your routine. Put it in your CRM. Automate it. I've automated my follow-ups to the larger extent. But, like, when I look at networking, especially, like, in the context of an in-person event, all I'm doing is, in my opinion, I'm meeting friends that I didn't know I had. But at the same time, we're looking for the permission to have a second conversation. I'm not having a heart-to-heart with you at a networking event. We're not closing business at the networking event. What I'm doing is I'm earning the permission, opportunity, and earning the right
Right.
To have a second conversation, right? So, mm-hmm. first of all, only follow up with people that you actually should follow up with. Not everyone needs to be followed up with because it wasn't a good match. You shouldn't have taken their business card, but you did because you're polite. But, like, if you're going to follow up, I strongly recommend automating it, but also personalize it. Hey, Luke, it was great to meet you at name of event, right?
Right.
I really enjoyed our conversation about this. I'd love to talk more about that, or I'd love to talk about our businesses and how we might be able to collaborate if that's something you're open to. If not, I'm cool with just connecting on LinkedIn, right?
Right.
And the reason I do that, first of all, with the LinkedIn part, is if I can connect with them on LinkedIn, chances are I'm more likely to have another conversation with them at some point in time, right? If I see their content or if they see mine, we just make a comment, like it, whatever. But by personalizing it, people know you actually care instead of just saying, hey there, it was great to meet you at that networking event. Do you have time for a 15-minute call? It's like, no, I don't have time because you didn't tell me why we're talking, what we're talking about, or why we should talk, right?
Right.
So a good follow-up has those components. It's personalized, it's specific, it sets an agenda / expectations and intentions, and it also asks for reciprocity and permission.
Right.
If it has those things, a follow-up is good. Now, do you follow up again?
Right.
Yes. You follow up until they tell you stop, or it's very clear that they're not interested, in which case, after about 7 emails, I'll say, look, there's a line between persistence and harassment. I don't want to cross that line. If you want to have a conversation, I'm open to it. But for now, I'm going to spare your inbox and not email you further. Right?
Okay.
And so, first of all, that has really good response rates because people don't want to be broken up with. But second of all, it shows I'm here for business. I care about what I'm doing. I'm not going to waste time on you. And they value that, right? So don't follow up forever. You're just going to harass people and piss them off. But also, don't only follow up once, right? Because people need more than that, more than just one or two touches to make a decision or get on a call with you. And it's about consistency. So I have had to stop worrying about what people think about me and like they think, oh, I'm pushy or needy. I know my heart. I know what I'm doing. And people who see that are the people I continue talking to. If someone's going to be sour, that's their prerogative. They have more, they have the freedom to do that. I'm not going to allow their opinion of me impact the way that I act because I know myself better than they do.
Right. You know, it's interesting because I think also when it comes to follow-up, you can email people articles that they may find helpful. You can introduce them to other people. You can send out birthdays.
Yeah.
Right. And the birthday cards, or you can send out. I've heard of people mailing out thank you cards, mailing out birthday cards. To keep in touch with people, and doing blogs and doing newsletters.
Right.
And the purpose of even me creating this show was meant to provide massive value to people as well.
Right. Right. Exactly.
So, right. And so that's, and it's all about reciprocity. Now, you don't want to be taken advantage of. You don't want to just be a giver, obviously.
Right.
But a lot of networking books talk about this, the law of reciprocity, that it all comes back to you. And a lot of people have had success, following this law. And and you have to be consistent. You mentioned consistency and having systems set up almost like it's automated, which is great.
Yeah.
But
it's still personal. I make sure it's still personal.
Right.
And I do want to say one thing real quick. The law of reciprocity works, right? Giving first works. However, you also need to have the internal understanding that even if they don't give back, it's okay.
Right. Right.
You are not entitled to anything, nor are they. You gave freely. And they choose to give freely. And so you can accept that. But if they don't feel like giving, that's okay. Because I'm going to let my actions speak for themselves. And if you don't want to reciprocate, I'm okay with that.
Right. Definitely.
but I'm not going to just give to everyone or people that clearly are just there to take, right? I'm not going to give, like that's part of relationship.
Right. And it's interesting. You also mentioned with referrals, people simply don't request them. And, you know, it's funny because people are nervous about requesting referrals from people. Some people don't know how to do it. They'll say, do you know anybody who needs an accountant? And people don't know someone named anybody, right? So,
right.
Like, how do you not, you know, you went over how you do follow-up. How does one go about requesting a referral, which is so important?
You know? Yeah, it's a great question. And, you know, I learned this the hard way. When it comes to asking for referrals, a wide net catches no fish. So generally speaking, the broader net you catch, the more fish you're gonna get. That's not the case here. In reality, we're more like artists painting a picture. And every way that I describe someone makes this picture more and more obvious for someone to think of a person, right? So you use the example of an accountant, right? If I say, you know anyone named an do you know anyone who's an accountant? Not many replies. But if I say, hey, do you know a CPA or accounting firm that works specifically with restaurants? Maybe they're in the New York City area. If the owner's like between 40 to 60, they work primarily with this industry or this business. And they do generalized tax, right? I'm throwing out some buzzwords to try to jog their memory, but I'm also drawing finer lines, the face of the person that I want to make, so that they can finally interpret, oh, I know Joe. Joe would be a great person to introduce you to, right?
Right.
But they didn't think of it on the first face when you say accountant, right? Even though he is one, you know? So specificity matters, and I would say the more specific you can be, the better, right?
Right.
I had to learn this the hard way. So people are afraid of missing out. They've got FOMO.
Yeah.
They don't want to miss any possible referrals, and I get that.
Right.
But at the same time, you want to get referrals, so you have to be specific. So I didn't do this. Said, for me, I'm looking for business owners between the ages of 40 and 60 that run an established business. They've been doing it for many years, and they work well. They want to stay up to date with new marketing technology, or they're frustrated with their current marketing. Right now, in the area of restaurants, is doing well. So do you know anyone who meets that criteria, right? That gets me a whole lot more referrals than just saying restaurants.
Right.
Because now it's about people instead of about business entities. I'm not friends with your business. I'm friends with you, right?
Right.
Or I'm connected to you. I have a relationship with you. And so, like, when I did that, I had this sudden explosion of referrals and introductions. And it was just like, what did I change? Oh, I changed how I was asking for the same people.
Right. Right. You sort of, you were painting a picture and you kind of focused in, you sort of laser focused and you dialed in instead of, you know, putting out a wide net that caught no fish.
Right. Exactly.
You know. It's great. I think a lot of people know this, but still they can't do it for some reason. And it's hard because you think, well, a lot of people just want anyone with a heartbeat and a wallet, but, you know, and that's the wide net. But too many business owners have the wide net mentality.
Yeah.
And it's rough. And I think that's what leads to the high failure rate, unfortunately. One of the things. And so, you know, what advice, you know, you mentioned advice that you would give to people that want to start their own business, which was great advice, by the way. What advice would you give to someone who wants to do what you're doing, who wants to be a helper of small businesses, who wants to, you know, help them with their marketing and has the same aspiration you do?
So if there's someone looking to be doing the same thing that I'm doing for somebody.
A help.
Marketing in general, not specifically SMS marketing. I mean, if you want to do SMS marketing, that's great. Come talk to me. But for someone doing marketing to small businesses, the first thing I would say is you don't have to niche yourself initially. I think your niche will show itself to you.
Right.
Read up and study on marketing. Become an expert in some aspect of marketing, right? Because too many people have a marketing degree. And they don't know how to use it, right? That's no longer a motivating factor in getting a job or starting a business or getting hired. What people want is to see you know what you're talking about, you know what you're doing, they know you can help them. So study up on an industry or a aspect of marketing, become the expert in that, and then just have conversations. Give free tips. Give away as much information as you can. As you're learning, tell people about what you're learning. Drop golden nuggets. Too many people want to keep their secret formula away from the public. I think that's a terrible idea because, I could keep the secret from people, but I could also give them the secret formula. And when they realize that it's not as easy as it looks, they're going to come to me, the one who gave them that secret formula, to optimize it, right? So I have a secret formula. I give it out to people. They use it on their own. They love it. It works. But then at a certain point, they realize, oh, there's more advanced problems or there's more things that I need done that I don't know how to do. Garrett, you gave me this formula. Like, what's the next step? And that's where I come in and help, you know? And half the time, I don't charge unless they want to start as a monthly client. I won't charge them for information, right? I don't want them getting in legal trouble, right? So I'll give them the information that they need to do or what they need to avoid to not get in legal trouble, right? Now, am I a legal representative? Absolutely not. But I can tell them information that's going to protect them.
Right.
And so someone who wants to be successful in helping small businesses with marketing needs to understand marketing, needs to understand the business that they're working with and what problems they have. And then they also need to understand the audience, right?
Right.
Because if you're marketing to big, burly, lumberjack men, the marketing is going to be way different than if you were marketing to a really feminine woman who's a stay-at-home mom, right? Those are two completely different audiences that need different marketing. So that may dictate you work with different businesses, but it also may show that you don't have the solution for the lumberjack business, whereas you do for someone who works with the stay-at-home moms, right? And so that'll help you direct yourself even more.
I see. Wow. It's interesting how there's, you know, the key advice is out there, but a lot of people may not want to follow it because it seems counterintuitive. You know, give away free information, you know, don't put out a wide net.
And
you mentioned with marketing, it's good to focus on one aspect of it. So again, we have that notion of the focus or laser focus, dialing in on that one thing. And, you know, it's funny with customers, you know, you can dial in on one type of referral. You can ask people, you can paint a picture, but over time, the other types of people that don't match up with the picture that you initially paint will come on board as well.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. So people want that wide net, but they can get the same result with get all the fish if they start off with a smaller net as well.
Speak to a problem that you can fix.
Right. Right. And, you know, there's actually one aspect of, I just wanted to get back to networking a little bit because I remember before, you know, we mentioned the whole idea that, you know, you had mentioned you're not trying to do hard business at a networking event. And I think too many people want to do that, particularly a lot of men. Women are better at, you know, building relationships. And I think overall women are better networkers than men, but that's a whole other story. You know, so the thing is like a lot of times people don't, your best customers don't buy right away. There's a book called The Ultimate Sales Machine by Chet Holmes. You may have heard of it. And essentially there's a huge mass of customers that they don't want your product right now, but they want it 2 or 3 years from now. Only 1 or 2% of customers will buy from you right then and there on the spot, right?
Yep.
So if you follow up with these people, you're gonna be inundated with referrals and customers. And a lot of business owners don't understand that as well. So, again, the fortune's in the follow-up. You know, when you follow up and then when they realize they need to buy a house or to buy a car or need an accountant or whatever the case may be, they'll come directly to you because you've built that relationship as well with them before you. So I just kind of wanted to get that out there. And so you mentioned a lot of life lessons or a lot of key advice for everyone to follow, whether they're an entrepreneur or not. What other important life lessons have you learned yourself or from others? And this isn't just for business owners, this is for everyone.
It's a great question. There's too many, because I think moving to New York was the best decision of my life, because I've seen so much growth personally, professionally, and spiritually that I never would have otherwise. Like, I'm not going to tell you New York's the best place in the world. It's pretty cool. I like it. But I also like home. I like Texas. But New York has given me so many lessons that I never would have learned otherwise. You know, I went from being an arrogant prick to someone who's humble, or more humble, and actually cares about people. And that was a byproduct of reading a book called Ego is the Enemy by Ryan Holiday. I love that book.
Wow.
But then, you know, understanding that it comes down to relationship is huge. Just wanting to connect with people is big. But, you know, you mentioned Dale Carnegie earlier. And, you know, he said, you'll do more business by listening. Seek to understand before you before you seek to be understood. You'll make more friends just by listening than you would ever trying to convince someone that you're so great, right? So listen first, speak second.
Right.
Be careful with your words.
Absolutely.
Because they matter.
Right. Wow.
Like, I've got a loose hinge for a jaw, and that bites me in the butt sometimes. But when push comes to shove and when it really matters, listening to somebody is just about the best thing you can do, because it's going to contextualize what they need and what they want and how you can help them. Otherwise, you might as well be talking to a brick wall. So that's another important life lesson, is to listen.
Right. You know, it's interesting. I think the quote you're referring to was to be interested and not be interesting. And, you know, I believe it
something
was that,
like that,
you know, you want to be interested and not be interesting. And I think that will take you far in life. It's taken me very far in life, you know, to listen to people, to, you know, we have two ears for a reason and one mouth. You know, so we got to do twice as much listening
and
talking.
I love it.
Yeah, so, you know, I was going to talk to you about what your favorite books were. Well, you mentioned Ego is the Enemy. That was the book you actually recommended to me when we first spoke on the phone on the same night that we met. And, and also there's a lot of great books out there. That you would rate that as your number one. Do you have a few others?
It's one of my favorite, absolutely. His second book, The Obstacle is the Way, is awesome. I'm not finished with it, but I'm still working on it. 12 Rules for Life by Jordan Peterson. I love that one. As far as business books, Start with Why by Simon Sinek. What's Best Next? That's a spiritual business book. How to Win Friends and Influence People. The Thank You Economy by Gary V. Company of One. I don't remember who wrote that. I'm sorry. Those are a couple of really great books. Really great books. I've heard a bunch of recommendations for The Millionaire Next Door. I've read a couple of pages of it. It's pretty good. So far.
I like that one too. Yeah, it's all about how a lot of millionaires, they don't look it, and they did it by
live below your means.
Which is great. So, are you gonna ever write a book yourself one day?
We'll see. I don't know yet. One of my friends is writing a book. He's a year younger than me. He's 2 years younger than me. But he's already got his book almost published. I think I could write a book if I really wanted to. First of all, I don't have the time or energy to dedicate to that. But second of all, I think if I wrote a book now, it'd be incomplete.
Right.
And I think that's the best way to summarize how I stand on writing a book at the moment.
It'd only be a quarter filled, three quarters empty.
Well, I'm not going to write one at the end of my life, but like when I have gotten to kind of the end point of the lessons that I'm still learning, then I might write a book. But then, like, also at the same time, there is a book that I want to write, but it's not about business. I can't tell you a lot about the plot line because I don't want somebody to steal it, because I also want to make it into a movie. But it would make it'd make The Notebook look like a children's rhyme, like a nursery tale. It's super
Well, I'm going to check it out.
Super deep.
Whatever books you write, man, I'm going to be the first in line to buy it. I can tell you that right now.
I appreciate that. And I'll tell you the story of it once we're off the podcast.
Okay. No problem. And so, all right, I guess that kind of takes us to the end, unfortunately. I feel like I can talk with you for hours, and and we could do an episode where it's like 10 hours long, but I know that wouldn't be, you know, the best practices for a podcast. So.
And I don't know how many people would listen to all 10 hours.
For 10 hours. You know, but it's funny because Joe Rogan's podcast, I believe, is 3 hours, and it's the number one podcast in the country. Crazy.
It's true.
3 hours?
True.
Really? So, Can you just describe for us all the ways that people can just reach out and connect to you?
Sure.
You know, I think you're an important person to be in people's network.
Yeah. Well, if you want to get all of my contact info, you can text Garrett, G-A-R-R-E-T-T, to the number 844-267-6492. That'll give you my contact info, my virtual business card, access to all my socials. I'm prominent on YouTube, LinkedIn. I'm working on getting on TikTok. I'm working on Facebook. But the main place that I am is LinkedIn, Garrett Housel, YouTube, Garrett Housel. Those are the primary places you'll be able to find me.
Okay, great. So the information that Garrett just gave you, it's also going to be listed in the episode description box. So you'll see it there, all right, for all the listeners. It will be there. So, again, I wanted to go ahead and thank Garrett. I know he's a busy man, and I'm so happy that he was able to take some time to chat with us and to share his knowledge and wisdom with us. And for such a young guy, you've experienced so much. It's incredible. I think it's amazing, you know, to go from Texas to New York. That's, you know, New York is very different from Texas. So, and you didn't know anybody, and you achieved a lot of great success. You know, it's amazing. It really is. That's why I think your life would make a great book, obviously, at some point, not now. But again, I want to thank Garrett. I want to thank you guys out there, the listeners. I know you guys enjoyed this show. I enjoyed it a lot. This is actually one of my favorite episodes that I've done because of all the knowledge that just got dropped on this episode. I think it's really jam-packed, probably the most jam-packed episode that we've done here on the show. So I just have to thank Garrett. You know, the guests make the show, and Garrett definitely made this episode. So, again, I thank you profusely, you know. And, again, I want to thank everyone. So I guess we're going to sign off. Do you have any last words, Garrett?
If you could see the smile on my face, I'm grinning ear to ear. You might be able to hear it in my voice, but you're too kind. Thanks so much for having me on, man.
You got it. No problem. Thank you. Everyone else out there, the listeners, and thank Garrett. Everyone have a wonderful day. Take care. Bye. Hey, guys, before you go, just real quick, if you can just do me a favor, if you can head over to the Apple Podcasts app, and if you're not there already, and if you can leave me a 5-star review, that would be great. If you love the show, if you can just go ahead and do that, and that will help to spread the word about the show, and other people can enjoy the show as much as you do. And so if you can do that, that would mean the world to me. And also, if you want to email me with any feedback or any praise or support, please feel free to go ahead and do that. And you can also email me to request to be put on our email list. We can send you out emails when new episodes come out. So thank you very much for being a fan of the show. Thank you for listening to the show and supporting the show. So if you can do that, go out and give us a 5-star review on the Apple Podcast that would be great. And if you can email us so we can put you on the email list and email us with feedback and praise, that'd be amazing. Thank you so much, and I'll see you guys in the next episode. Take care. Bye-bye.